Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
This is my mom.
Am I going to get paid for this?
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air. That's how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Wednesday, March 29th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Levers and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday in the fifth week of Lent. Can you believe that Holy Week starts on Palm Sunday, which is just days away? In fact, Morning Air contributor Marge Fenlon will be with us a little bit later this hour to get us ready for Holy Week. On Wednesdays, I always take a moment to remind you to pray to St. Joseph, the husband of our Blessed Mother Mary and the foster father of Jesus. He's a powerful intercessor. Go to Joseph, especially during this month of March here in these final days dedicated to St. Joseph. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines here on this Wednesday morning?
Well, John, we continue to follow the aftermath of that school shooting in Nashville, a vigil tonight in Nashville for that. The typical calls for gun control after that from the president and many others, focusing, too, on the heroes. Again, sadly, seven people ultimately lost their lives, including the shooter, but two police officers responded. They got calls around 10:13. And the assailant was confirmed dead by 10:27, so 14 minutes. But, six people were killed within that 14 minutes, but it could have been a lot worse. They came very heavily armed. The guys involved there, Metro Nashville police officers, Rex Engelbert, a four-year vet, and Michael Colazzo, a nine-year veteran, says there was no hesitation. It was methodical, professional. Their training was obvious, and they showed great courage in doing what needed to be done to take out the assailants.
These two officers really are heroes. Imagine the courage that it took to go in literally and respond within minutes and then take out the shooter. Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri is calling for federal authorities to investigate this deadly shooting of the Covenant School as a federal hate crime.
Federal law prohibits violence against Americans based on their religious beliefs, their religious affiliation, their religious practices. Police have said that this shooting at a Christian school yesterday was targeted. It was not random. It wasn't some random act of violence. It was targeted against this Christian school. That's a hate crime under federal law. The federal government needs to open a hate crime investigation. We need to find out what the influences of this shooter was or were. We need to find out, are there other planned crimes of violence planned? We need to make sure this doesn't spread.
And another hero that's being hailed is the head of the school, Catherine Kuntz. She did everything she could to protect those children and died in the process. What an amazing story.
Yeah, the head of the school, two other adult staffers as well, lost their lives, along with the three kids. And, doing what they could, as much as they could, being unarmed at the time.
We've also discovered that the shooter had some serious emotional problems.
Yeah, it says he was being treated for an emotional disorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, if you think about it, what could possibly make someone act in such an irrational and an insane way to go in and then and do yet another school shooting. In fact, we're going to talk about it here momentarily on the show with an expert. Rhonda Stark is going to be with us to give us more perspective on how parents and how kids can cope with this Nashville shooting. So we continue to put it in the Lord's hands and to pray. I know that there's going to be a vigil tonight there in Nashville. It should be a very emotional time.
Yeah, absolutely. Please lift everyone up in prayer and keep supporting those survivors and the parents of the kids that weren't harmed and how they have to talk to their kids about what happened.
Absolutely. All right, Glenn, as always, thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. Keep in mind that Relevant Radio receives thousands of prayer requests from our donors and listeners, and rest assured that we are praying for all of you in a special way. And this morning, especially, we pray for everyone involved in this horrific tragedy in Nashville. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This may be the most famous verse in the entire world. You often see signs with John 3:16 in football and baseball stadiums and other sports arena. God so loves you that he sent his only Son, that through his infinite mercy we may have eternal life. Christ did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. If we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, then we will live our faith, take action, and love our neighbor as well. It's faith working through love. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. You can always send us an email directly with any thoughts or comments or story ideas, morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, as our nation continues to process yet another school shooting that took the lives of 3 9-year-old children and 3 adults in Nashville, Tennessee, there's a lot to think about. In fact, yesterday, Nashville police released body cam video of the Covenant School shooting response, during which 2 police officers killed the shooter, Audrey Elizabeth Hale, a 28-year-old transgender former student. Nashville Fraternal Order of Police President James Smallwood spoke to Fox News about the officer's decision to charge into the school while facing gunfire.
You know, I think it's important to remember that evil exists in our world, and as long as that evil exists, we're going to need somebody who's willing to charge into the gunfire. And what we saw yesterday were brave men and women, first responders, who literally ran into gunfire as they were taking it and went in there to stop the threat from spreading any further. And those officers and those first responders, the measures they took were far beyond what anybody ever expects of a regular human being. And we just have to thank them for what they did and praise them for the excellent job that they did. You know, we got the call, and in 14 minutes we were able to stop the threat. And that is absolutely a phenomenal response, and we should be thankful for that.
As Americans, we are all shocked when we hear about these type of tragic events. Rhonda Stark is joining us live this morning to talk about how parents and kids can cope after this senseless school shooting. Rhonda Stark is an Ohio-licensed professional clinical counselor with supervisory status that has aired on over 13 national media segments across 50 networks. Rhonda is the expert in the intersection of today's news and the field of psychology. Her website is expertnewsanalyst.com. Rhonda has over 20 years of experience counseling patients. She's completed the Yale University Executive Management Program and is principal of Stark Counseling and Human Development. Good morning, Rhonda. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us again during a very difficult time for so many people in our nation, and especially in Nashville.
Well, thank you for having me. And it is a morning of processing for so many, those in other states that are watching this unfold and just learning and trying to explain to their children this morning when their children are leaving on buses and being taken to schools. And for the families there in Nashville, I know I have upcoming travel this weekend to Nashville, and it's just going to be a very heavy experience going into that city and just sensing and feeling what it is that they're going through.
Rhonda, from a professional clinical counselor perspective, what was your first reaction when you heard of yet another tragic shooting in this Nashville elementary school that took the lives of three precious children and the three adults, including the head of the school?
My first impression was just that, you know, we teach our children, if you're ever lost or something's going wrong in a public place, find a woman or a mom and, you know, go to them for safety. My first concern was, this is a lesson we've always taught these young children, and for those children in that school in those moments, to see what they thought would be, you know, a safe place that day, this female was shooting at them. And so I think that the safety message that we've taught these children all their life, I know with all my children, I have always said, if you're anywhere and you sense that you need a little bit of safety or someone to comfort you, find someone that looks like they're a mom or a nanny, and that's who you go to. So as a professional, that was my first thought, is how is it that we reestablish a sense of safety and security in our youth and our children when they are going to be going to school for many more years after something like this happens? And I think the second factor that really struck me as a professional and as one who's covered these sad stories through the years with Morning Air is that, you know, we generally don't see them unfold in a Christian school or, you know, Catholic school. In many of the instances, it is a public school. So for those that are listeners that have their children in the parochial schools, this is definitely something new that we need to find a way to talk to our children and comfort them about as well.
Rhonda, I'd love to get your thoughts on the comments from Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, who is calling for federal authorities to investigate this as a federal hate crime, something specifically targeting Christians.
Yes, I agree that that should happen. I definitely think that any time that there is a crime, that it seems that there might be a larger issue or maybe even a gathering on social media of individuals that are feeling a certain way, we absolutely should look at it as a hate crime just for the safety of all. And it's really important at this point for all of us in life to realize our society, we don't have enough mental health practitioners out there right now. Pretty much every state is low on them. And we have a lot of rising mental health issues. And since COVID, those that had moderate issues are experiencing more severe issues, which is a concern. Those that have mild are experiencing more moderate. So our mental health as a whole throughout our country, what we're seeing in this profession is it's worsening. But our help on the front line is declining. So there's a lot to look at. And so, you know, do I agree that they should investigate this as a hate crime? Absolutely, because our resources are lessening and our problems are increasing in the mental health field. So anywhere we can get additional resources, research, investigations, and assistance it's paramount right now.
It's been reported that the parents have said that the suspect, Audrey Hale, had mental health issues. She obviously was a very troubled person. How do you cope with that reality? What can parents do when they see those signs?
Well, when parents, neighbors, friends, strangers in a grocery line see the signs, that's what I say on all of these different radio shows that I have been on, is all of us, every single one of us, have a place that we can help to improve even today in our society to help reduce this. This particular shooter had reached out to who she perceived to be her only friend, even though they hadn't had contact for a while. They long to have friends. They long to have relationships. And every opportunity in our lives and our children's lives, every day, we can reach out and talk to a stranger, whether you're on an airplane, on a bus, in a grocery store line. Be kind just for the sake of being kind. And if you have children that are school age and maybe they're more popular than some of the other kids, don't be impressed when your child is talking on the phone or having over their popular friends. Be impressed when they reach out to someone that is alone, doesn't have very many friends, isn't popular. And most of us should be focusing our day on trying to get to know the friends of our friends, trying to just in the world be a more connected person, and not just for the very connected. for those that don't have that. And again, we look back, there's and we think about the Newtown school shooting, which I covered years ago on Relevant Radio as well. And that particular person, Adam Lanza, lost his best friend in a little, they had an altercation just a short time before he did what he did. And this particular shooter mentioned that, you know, there was that morning they reached out to the friend that they felt they had from long ago. And so we all want to reach out more to strangers. We want to encourage our children to be kind and to do the same. And there is something, if every listener out there on Relevant Radio today did that, just reached out to one more person, we can make a difference. There's a place for all of us to help with these type of issues.
What about talking to our children? Any advice on the best way to talk to our children about a horrible tragedy like this one in Nashville?
Yes, definitely to enter it from a place of being calm. Parents can use breathe bracelets, one breath at a time. Have those that you calm yourself down before you talk to your children about any issue, because they're going to sense, even though you don't realize it, they sense how hard you're breathing. They can tell if you're tense, if you're sweating. They sense that. You want to go into a conversation very calm with your child about this, where you've centered yourself, where you've taken time to think through what you're going to say and have an agenda. And then for those that are in other states or farther away, look at the map, pull up a map on your phone and look at it and say to this child, especially if you have a very young one going to school today, look at the map and say, you know, we're here right now in Miami, Florida. Here's where the incident happened in Nashville, Tennessee. It's pretty far away, and it's certainly under control, even though we hear about this about every 15 minutes on the news cycle and we're learning the updates. Everything there is under control. Those heroes went in, and in 14 minutes, due to just their professionalism, their training, their diligence, their being methodical, they handled it. It's all handled. So even in Nashville, and point to that on the map, it's handled. It's okay right now. And then go through specifically with your student and their school. Talk about their teacher by name. Talk about the drills, the last time that they maybe had their safety drill a month ago. Make certain to talk about just specific things in their school that you felt extra safe and made the decision to send them there. Go over those. For example, my son with Archbishop McCarthy in Miami, I mentioned to him today when he left, you have all of the gentlemen and ladies in their red shirts that are always just looking out for the safety. You have over 70 cameras on your campus. They ride the golf carts around. There's just so much that's safety driven that's going on. And mention their favorite teacher's name to them when you're talking. So personalize it. Your observations, your reasons for sending them to the school that you did, your personal naming the teacher, naming the last date. Just look through your emails. They tell you when they have the safety drills. Mention that you know that. And really, it's just our breath and our calmness when we talk to our children about it. And that's what they're going to adopt and walk out the door with in the morning.
Rhonda, final thoughts. Obviously, we have to talk to the children properly, but it's also tough for so many parents who may also be experiencing some anxiety and some fears of sending their children off to school, never knowing what could happen on any given day.
Absolutely. And we just pray to God. I mean, God is ultimately in control of every single thing that happens. We don't always understand why certain things happen or why they happen in certain places. We don't know that. But our prayer at the end of the morning, right before my children leave for school this morning, the last thought when I heard the door close was, you know, God, please keep him safe. Please keep him safe today. And that's what we do. We just need to turn that over to God. We don't control all factors. So I believe that really that is what we do. We breathe deeply and we pray and we trust.
Rhonda, we'll have to leave it right there. I so much appreciate that perspective, and especially the reminder that we all need to continue to pray. Really appreciate you being on with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Rhonda Stark, board-certified, licensed professional clinical counselor here on Morning Air. We need to take a short break when we come back. Our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona, will bring Rome to home for the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. So stay with us. There's much more to come on this Wednesday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And yes, indeed, now it is time to bring Rome to home, as we do every Wednesday for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project in Rome, where they take people from knowing their faith to setting their hearts on fire with talks, tours, and spiritual direction, all centered on scripture, art, and beauty. They even have a special track to evangelize young adults. Visit truthandbeautyproject.com to find out how you can make your life a masterpiece in just 1 week with John and Ashley in Rome. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Thanks so much for joining us once again from the eternal city of Rome.
Oh, buongiorno to you, John. So glad to be with you today.
Always a joy to be with you. Tell us, Ashley, what was the main focus of Pope Francis at this morning's Wednesday general audience?
Yes, indeed. Well, today Pope Francis continued his catechesis on zeal, on apostolic zeal, and told all present that he would be focusing this week and next week specifically on witnesses, those who he called exemplary witnesses of living passion for the gospel. And he said that he would choose to focus on St. Paul for these next coming weeks, and specifically the idea of becoming a new creation. And in fact, he urged all the faithful to do that too, to take the opportunity to become a new creation in Christ, remembering it's never too late to start anew. He said that all are called to change their lives now. How to do it? Well, by letting Jesus change you. And then the Pope looked specifically at Saul's conversion, talking about how in that moment, Saul's humanity, his passion for God and for God's glory is not what he called annihilated, but instead it's transformed. It is converted by the Holy Spirit so that Paul will then follow a gospel way of life. And he then equated that to what happens in the Eucharist, where when the bread and the wine do not disappear, but they become the body and blood of Christ. And in a similar way, Paul's zeal remains, but becomes the zeal of Christ. And the Holy Father stressed that Jesus can transform every person's life, but one has to let him. And St. Paul, he looked to St. Paul's words as well. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And urged all to become new and to experience a death to old ways and a resurrection to new ways. And then as he finished his catechesis today, John, Pope Francis also requested prayers, especially for the 38 people who died yesterday in a migrant facility in Mexico after a terrible fire there. Asked especially for prayers for all those who have perished in that tragedy and all those who are involved and their families. And finally, John, today, Pope Francis, who, of course, every week blesses holy objects that all of the faithful bring, blessed something a little bit unexpected and unusual. He blessed a satellite today. This is called the Space Satellites. That means the satellite of hope. And it's about to be launched on the 10th of June from the Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. And this particular satellite will hold a copy of a book that documents the Pope's Urbi et Orbi blessing of 2020 on the 27th of March. So you may remember that moment, that was when in the midst of the pandemic, Pope Francis spoke to an empty square and asked all not to be afraid. He said, "Yet our faith is weak and we are fearful. But you, Lord, will not leave us at the mercy of the storm. And so these words have been made, or this whole address really, has been made into a book called Why Are You Afraid? Have You No Faith? And converted into a nano book. So it's actually 2 millimeter by 2 millimeter and put on a 0.2 millimeter silicone plate in order to be transported into space. And then while in orbit, this satellite will broadcast statements from Pope Francis. So these are statements which can be deciphered, and they will be on the theme of hope and peace, and broadcast in English, Italian, and Spanish, John.
That is remarkable. I can't think of anything like this ever before by a Holy Father.
No, in fact, and those behind it have said the idea was to bring hope and the idea of peace to as many people in the world on what they called our troubled planet.
It's hard to believe that we're coming up on 3 years, actually. It's over 3 years since the Holy Father's famous prayers there in St. Peter's Square during the COVID pandemic. It's a moment I'll never forget.
Yes, it was certainly a very sober moment when, again, they are in that empty square. Pope Francis preached those words about fear when certainly there was a lot of anxiety throughout the world at that moment. And so we always hope that we can follow the words of Scripture to be not afraid.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was Italy's 79th anniversary of the Fossi Ardeatine massacre, which took place way back in, I believe, in 1944. How was that celebrated just recently?
Yes, exactly. So there have been all kinds of events commemorating that this week, John. And this is remembering when in 1944, Nazi forces, who at that point were occupying Rome, carried out what is considered one of the most horrific atrocities against civilians in the Second World War in Italy. And so Fossi Ardeatine is actually a quarry near Rome, near the Appia Antica. And it was inside of that quarry that 355 civilians were put to death by German troops. What happened was that the resistance forces had detonated a homemade bomb in the city of Rome that had killed 42 German soldiers as they were marching. And so what happened in retaliation then was that SS Commander Kepler recommended reprisals right away. Hitler approved that. And within 24 hours, the German troops ordered this massacre. The idea was to round up 10 to 1 civilians, so 10 civilians to every one German soldier that had been killed in this bomb attack. And so these hundreds of people were brought from all kinds of areas of the city, representing various walks of life. There were factory workers, there were soldiers, there was a Catholic priest, there were several students, there were prisoners. 75 of the people were Jewish, and the ages of the 335 people went from 15 to 70. So they were brought by trucks out to that quarry, into the caves of that area. They were divided into groups of five and shot in the back of the head. Afterwards, the German troops then dynamited the cave to seal it off, left the bodies inside. And it wasn't until more than a year later, after the Allied liberation of Rome, that the caves were reopened and the bodies were found there. Now, today, the site of this massacre has been transformed into a mausoleum. It's considered a national mausoleum. There's a museum there as well. And it's a sanctuary dedicated to the dead. In fact, there's a plaque on the wall of the cave that reads, "Here we were brutally killed, victims of a horrible sacrifice. May our sacrifice rise, a better homeland, and lasting peace amongst people. And so throughout this week, there have been several public commemoration ceremonies in honor of the victims, including the president of Italy, President Mattarella, laying a wreath there at the Fosse Ardeatine Mausoleum. So certainly we remember on the 79th anniversary, those who died, the victims of all wars, and that prayer for peace that that we may all live in peace together.
Well, meanwhile, Ashley, there's some questions about Italy's cuisine. Will it become recognized by UNESCO?
Oh, yes. In fact, so Italy has indeed put in a bid for just that, asking for UNESCO to recognize the cuisine as what's called intangible cultural heritage. So this is something that this bid has been put out by the Italian Ministries of Culture and Agriculture, and they are underlying the links in Italy between culture, food, and lifestyle. And they call it actually a mosaic of traditions encompassing social practices and rituals and gestures that's been handed down amongst generations. And it really, that saying that it really defines the cultural identity of Italy. In fact, the cultural minister of Italy said that the identity is also a mix of art and culture and landscapes and monuments, but all of that is enhanced by experiences of food excellence in Italy. But right in the middle of all this, John, came a little bit of controversy. An article has recently come out in the Financial Times that has questioned the authenticity of some of the signature dishes of Italian cuisine. And you can imagine there's been a huge outcry as a result in Italy. So some of the things that the article said, and by the way, it was an interview with a food historian at the University of Parma, and he says he's dedicated his life to debunking myths around Italian food. So he says that Italy's attitude towards culinary purity is often ludicrous. He said that Italian cuisine is actually more American than it is Italian, and that many Italian what are considered classics, such as panettone or tiramisu, are actually new inventions. And he suggested that, quote, the exact modern day match of Parmigiano Reggiano cheese from Italy is Wisconsin Parmesan. And he, the article also claims that carbonara, famous Roman carbonara, is actually an American dish born in Italy. So you can imagine that this has caused a lot of controversy. And in fact, in a statement by the Italian agricultural organization Coldretti, they said that this is really trivializing national food cuisine. And an article like this is dangerous because they said otherwise it would be laughable. But with it also come economic and employment implications. So Italy's application to UNESCO will be finished in December of this year. So we will wait and see what UNESCO has to say about Italian cuisine becoming a part of Italy's intangible cultural heritage, John.
Ashley, I'm curious, was pizza included in those signature dishes?
Yes, it was. It was. And in fact, what this professor is claiming is that pizza was hardly heard of in Italy until the 1950s. But I have to tell you, John, the Neapolitans are not having it. They are not happy to hear that.
Well, I just know that you can just walk through Rome every two blocks. There's a pizza on every corner. So I don't know where they come up with that. Ashley, as always, I really appreciate your insights and perspective.
Oh, it's so great to be with you. Many blessings on your day. Take care.
Thanks so much. Grazie, grazie. Ashley Nerona, our Rome correspondent who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by award-winning author, speaker, Catholic media personality, and life coach. Marge Fenelon will join us to get us prepared and ready for Holy Week. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues here on this Wednesday on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, can you believe that Holy Week is next week? Beginning on Palm Sunday, Holy Week is rich with symbols and many scenes and events that draw us into the Passion, Crucifixion, and Resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Week culminates with the 3 days that change the course of history and should be very different from every other week of the past year. Easter Sunday will have much greater meaning if we live Holy Week well. We're now joined live by Morning Air contributor Marge Fenelon to prep us, to get us ready for Holy Week. Marge is an award-winning author, internationally known speaker and Catholic media personality, and a life coach. Marge is also the author of several books, including Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, and My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena. Good morning, Marge. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again, just in time here for the final days of Lent.
Oh, it's great to be here, and yeah, it's both dreadful for me and exciting at the same time, because this is a time where I look back and I think, wow, okay, so how did I spend my Lent? Did I spend it well? Did I spend it well enough? And looking toward Palm Sunday, you know, Palm Sunday is like our table of contents for the gospel readings that will follow during the week. And I love looking at what we hear on Palm Sunday and then looking at the individual readings through the week. These really help me, John, to live Holy Week. And what I mean by that is, you know, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And I think about that very pointedly during Holy Week, because I really do. I want to take up my cross. I want to follow him along each day as he steps closer and closer to the cross. And that the readings of each of the days, the Gospels for each of the days, help us to do that. So we get the table of contents on Palm Sunday, but then when you look at the other readings, you can just see, you know, if we were watching a drama movie, we could hear the music in the background, you know, kind of building and building to a crescendo. So Monday, we see the chief priests, and they've alluded to it before, but here on Monday, the chief priests they plot Jesus' death. They're even thinking about killing Lazarus too, because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So it's you hear the death knell toll for our dear Lord. And on Tuesday, we see Jesus in the gospel. We see him, he's warning the apostles of what's to come. So he's preparing his friends, his closest followers, for what will transpire at the end of the week. And then Wednesday, Jesus exposes, so to speak, his betrayer. You know, he points to Judas and lets it be known, he's the one who will betray me. And then Thursday, of course, we have the Mass of the Lord's Supper, and we have the Last Supper, but then the agony in the garden and our Lord's arrest. And this starts, I was going to say that's the final downfall, John, but it's really not a downfall. It's the lifting up of our Lord. But humanly speaking, I usually say a done deal. So when something is there's no going back. You know this on Holy Thursday at the Last Supper. And then just as it was alluded to or mentioned, actually not even alluded to it on Palm Sunday, then we have the Passion and Crucifixion on Friday. Hopefully our listeners are able to make those services because they're so beautiful. And then on Saturday, we've got two things going on. So during the day, it's at least I strive and my family, we've always strived very hard to keep that time quiet. It's a pausing and thinking about, wow, what just happened and where are we going next? And then if you're fortunate to go to the vigil, It's the story of our heritage, and it's preparing us for what? Easter Sunday morning, the resurrection, that incredible joy. And we can do this. We can walk with our Lord each of these days and really think about during our day. Think about if you, even if you can't attend Mass, please spend time with the Scriptures each of those days. Spend time with the Gospel and pray with it. And put yourself there and then think about how you have spent, not to beat yourself up, but how you have spent your Lent and what you really want to be doing this Holy Week.
The old adage, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. There's still a time here as we approach Holy Week to turn things around and really make it a strong finish during Lent.
There is, and that's the beauty of it. You know, one of the things that I suggest that people do, and that I do myself, is during as early in Holy Week as possible, I like to sit down and have a nice heart-to-heart with our Lord and really talk about, be very, very frank and straightforward with Him and talk about how my Lent went. How did I spend it? I don't know that I've ever, John, come to the end of a Lent and gone, wow, that was great. I aced it. I don't think I've ever had that. There's always regrets and there's always wishes that I could have done more and here's where I failed. Well, rather than just say, yeah, I blew it, if that's the case, I like to talk to Jesus about it. I suggest talking to Him and really just pouring out your heart and saying, you know, yeah, okay, I didn't do this well, but help me now in these final days to really pick up the baton again and start running spiritually toward the end of Holy Week.
Marge, what about preparing our home for Holy Week? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. You know, we're very tangible people. Always, we're stimulated by what we see and hear, and so I during this Holy Week, especially if you haven't done it all Lent long, get out the sacramentals, give them a prominent place, particularly the crucifix, of course. Give it a prominent place in your home where it draws attention, that you know, it really drives home for you, what is this week all about? The sacramentals, and then, yeah, this is your chance, folks. Really focus on what are you listening to? What are we listening to during Holy Week? What kind of entertainment, what kind of music, what kind of podcasts? You know, this would be a great time to just unplug the TV. And that's pretty daring in most households. Unplug it. Don't let anything from the world in and to infringe on this very, very precious time with our Lord and preparing, walking with Him through Holy Week. Simplify your meals. Simple beverages, simple meals. This is a time of really bearing down on your strivings. So those things, and I'm sure our listeners could think of many, many more things where you change your home into a, Holy Week home, so that everything in your home speaks of Holy Week, so that you can't forget and that you're constantly drawn into that mystery.
Well, we may unplug our TV, except for our relevant radio listeners who listen and watch Father Rocky every night with the Family
right.
Rosary Across America. So you unplug it, but then you plug it back in just in time for the Family Rosary.
Absolutely. Yeah, I forget that he's also on TV. I'm always, because I use the app always. I'm always on the listening live on the app. So, yes, I forgot. I was remiss. I'm glad you brought that up.
Marge, is it realistic to expect our kids to fast from screens or even listening some of the modern music here during Holy Week?
Well, it's challenging, to be sure. And I know we got lots of grunts and groans from our kids when they were in those preteen, teen years. But I think there's a couple of things there, and I'm glad you brought up that point, because, first of all, we can't expect someone else to do something we're not willing to do ourselves. So parents, grandparents, lead the way. Uncles, aunts, lead the way. Lead the way. You do it first. You show how serious you are about doing it. And then, you know, rather than say, oh, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that, it challenge your kids in a good way. Put your confidence in them. You know, this is, we've talked about this. We know how important this week is. And I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I really have faith in you, and I want to see you really blossom. And maybe that's not the best for teen boys, but to really grow this Holy Week. Put your confidence in them and encourage them rather than just saying don't, or, you know, don't do this or let's not.
We have about 45 seconds left. Real quickly, a final thought on prayer and maybe even going to confession here as we prepare for Holy Week.
Absolutely part of that conversation with our Lord. You know, if we're talking about where we might, where we didn't do our best during Lent, and hopefully things come up where you realize, you know what, I really need now to take this into the confessional and receive absolution for those things that were sin, that were sinful. You know, a human failing is not sinful in and of itself, but this is an exact walk right into the confessional, and so important, of course, because we know as Catholics we're called to go to confession at least during Easter time.
Great suggestions, Marge. Really appreciate. Thanks so much for being with us. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called "Life Changed in the Canned Food Aisle" by Maggie McKelvey. When my perfect 5-pound daughter was born almost 5 years ago, we were given a diagnosis of Down syndrome. Fear of the unknown consumed our lives. Constant worry filled our days and nights. What will her future be like? What will our future be like? I became the overprotective mama bear and mistook kind smiles from strangers as glances of pity. Scared and in love with this little baby, I felt so lost. When Ava was about 1 month old, we took a mommy baby trip to the grocery store. In the canned goods aisle, my life forever changed. A stranger was pushing her cart by us, looking over her shoulder at my little baby in the carrier. She came back around and asked if she could take a closer look. When she saw Ava's sleeping face, a warm, bright smile spread across her own. "Thank you," she said. "This brings back so many wonderful memories." Just then a teenage girl came up and gave her mom a hug. She too had Down syndrome. This kind stranger hugged her daughter back and placed her hand on my shoulder. "You've been tremendously blessed. Everything will be okay. You'll see." I stood there with tears in my eyes and gave her a shaky thank you. Felt like a huge weight had been lifted. We'd be okay. She'd be okay. This woman gave me strength to start to raise my daughter to do and be anything she wants. Today, Ava's a spirited preschooler with so much love to give. That kind stranger in the grocery store will never know the gift she gave that day. She gave me the ability to push aside fear and start living our lives for our little girl. And she was right. Our lives have been tremendously blessed. From 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone, will join us to explain why crucifixes and statues are covered with purple veils during Lent. Plus, our personal success coach, Dave Durand, will be with us to talk about breaking down what excellent communication looks like. So stay with us. There's much more to come on this Wednesday in the final hour of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.